So we're turning tonight to Luke chapter 4. And we'll begin our reading at verse 33. Luke 4 and verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands in every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stared him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Amen. We trust the Lord will use the word that we have read this evening to speak to our hearts, not only to the hearts of we God's people, but any in the service tonight who are not saved. Love to see you saved. Love to see you in heaven with us. So may the Lord use his word this evening to that end. Before we consider the Lord's word for the service tonight and for our hearts, would you just join with me now in a word of prayer? Most gracious Father and eternal loving God, we bow in thy holy presence, very conscious, Lord, that we are in the presence of the thrice holy God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And O loving Father, we bow humbly before thee. We come now, Lord, spend time around thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for thy word. And, O Lord, I pray earnestly that thou wilt take up thy word, that, Lord, thou wilt use the word. Use it, Lord, to the sanctifying of the saints of God and to the salvation of sinners. Lord, may sinners be saved tonight. May salvation come to this house. Lord, bless this congregation. We thank thee for every remembrance of it. Lord, bless thy servant who labors here. Remember his dear wife and Mrs. Edgar as well. Dear Lord, we pray that as Mrs. Edgar is laid aside and weak in body, may she be conscious that by her bedside stands her blessed Savior. Lord, I pray thou will grant to me the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that I might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will do so in all sincerity and earnestness. And help me, Lord, to speak well of Christ, always to speak well of him, and to make much of his precious blood. In the Savior's holy and precious and peerless name, I ask all these things. Amen. Luke chapter 4, and our text for this evening is found there in the verse 36. The Lord had just cast out an evil spirit from an individual, and those who were there, we read, they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." I want to take those five words. What a word is this? In this fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, the evangelist brings us, as it were, to the battlefield, where the forces of good and evil engage in conflict. From the wilderness of Judea to the synagogues in Nazareth and Galilee and Capernaum, the captain of our salvation faced the forces of evil and the powers of hell. For 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the dark powers of the underworld taunted him and tempted him in an attempt to overthrow him. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, yet without sin. But in such a contest, there can only be one victor. There can only be one champion. There can only be one conqueror. There can only be one overcomer. And it is the one that we read about in Revelation 6 and verse 2, that he went forth conquering and to conquer. For the Lord Jesus Christ has never lost a battle. He has never known defeat. In the wilderness, he put the devil to flight. And then the contest moved from the wilderness place to a worship place. As we read there in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season." Yes, the Lord conquered and defeated the devil, and the devil left him. But the verse doesn't end there. The devil left him for a season, indicating that he would be back again. And now he appears and to confront the Savior once again, here in the synagogue, in the form of an evil, unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit or demon that crawled out of the pit of hell met with the same fate. For the one who was all holiness and all purity and all righteousness and almighty and all powerful and all victorious defeated that unclean spirit. But the conflict with hell's forces was not confined to the wilderness or the synagogue. In fact, everywhere the dear Savior went and wherever his ministry took him, Satan's forces were present. You look there in verses 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him and laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many. See? Didn't matter where the Savior went. Devils were there. Forces of evil, the powers of the underworld, the dark devils of hell crawled out of the pit and came wherever the Savior went to confront him. But praise the Lord, he was always victorious. And all who know him as Redeemer and as Savior, believer, were on the winning side. The Lord has never known defeat. But while he may have been plagued with devils and demons and the spirits of darkness, yes, the King of Glory was always victorious. Victorious in the wilderness, victorious in the places of worship, victorious as he walked, victorious as he talked. He always defeated the enemy. Always. But how? How did he defeat the enemy? How did he bind the forces of evil? How did he paralyze the powers of hell? Well, we read in the verse of the portion we have just read tonight, verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? That's how he defeated the devil. They said, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. You see, the weapons of his warfare were not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So what weapon did the Savior use to slay the dragon? Sure, he used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we would say with those in the synagogue that day, what a word is this? That with power and authority he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. That's our text for tonight. What a word is this? And since it is a sword and the sword of the Spirit, it reminds us of that sword that Goliath held. What did David say of that sword? There is none like it, give it me. Well, there's nothing like this sword. This isn't the sword of Goliath. This is the sword of the Spirit. What a word is this? It's the word that disturbs the devil. That's the word. It's the word that disturbs the devil. And there is nothing that disturbs the devil and his demons more than the faithful preaching of the word. Look at verse 28. Savior has just preached the word. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. He preached the word in the synagogue, and it disturbed the devil. They took him out to the hill upon which the city was built, and they would have cast him down headlong. Well, praise God, he wasn't for dying on that hill. He would die on another hill, a hill just outside Jerusalem. But we see how the word disturbed the devil. And Satan hasn't changed. He hates the word. Somebody prayed that in the prayer meeting tonight. The devil hates the word. How often was the Apostle Paul beaten and battered and bruised because he preached the word, and it was Satan who held the rod that smote God's servant? Because he hates the word. For it is the word that smites the conscience. It's the word that convinces of sin. It is the word that converts the soul. And praise God, it's the word that robs hell of souls. It's the word that plucks brands from the burning. What a word is this? And here we have it before us tonight. What a word is this that strikes fear into the demons of hell and shakes the very gates of hell? What a word is this? As the Savior entered into the synagogue in Capernaum preaching and teaching, we're told that an unclean spirit was disturbed. First of all, you have the presence of a devil in a synagogue, in a place of worship, yes. We should not think it strange, a strange thing to find a demon and a devil in a place of worship. Do we not read? And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. What do you think of that? There's the high priest, and he's standing, the high priest, standing, ministering unto the Lord. And who's at his right hand? Satan, standing at his right hand to resist him. Going toe to toe against the high priest as he ministered unto the Lord. There he stood, the accuser of the brethren. So why may we expect to find the devil, the powers of evil, in gospel meetings even like this tonight? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us. He tells us in Mark chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus told the story of the sower. And after a while, the disciples went to the Lord. They didn't fully understand the parable and its application. And when they were with him alone, they asked him. And we read in verse 14, the Savior explains the parable, and he says, the sower soweth the word. The seed is the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See? The man that sows the good seed of the word, and he's faithful in the preaching of the word, just as Satan stood at the right hand of Joshua the high priest, so Satan stands at the right hand of the preacher. Satan is there in the congregation, and he's ready to steal away the word. And the Lord says he's there to take it away immediately. You see, my unsaved friend, tonight the devil wants to keep the word out of your heart. He cometh immediately and taketh away the word. For he knows, you see, he knows that the entrance of the Lord's word giveth light, 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 and you're in darkness. You may not think of it that way, but you are. You are held in nature's darkness. I'll show you now just how dark is that darkness. For you sit in this church and you sit in meetings like this week after week after week, and God's servant preaches and he tells you about Christ and he tells you about heaven and he tells you about hell and he tells you about the everlasting fires of hell, and it doesn't even trouble you because you're in darkness. You can't see. And that's where the devil wants to keep you. That's why he steals away the word. He wants to keep you in darkness. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world, that's him, that's him. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, or those words may be rendered, the gospel of the glorious Christ. I like that. The gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what he's about. That's the dirty business the devil is about, and he's at it tonight. He wants to steal away the word, wants to keep you in darkness, wants to drag your soul away to hell. And he'll do all in his power to keep you the way you are right now and the way you've been all your life up until this moment in time. Because the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What a word is this. What a word is this that so disturbs the devil. Because this word is able to break the power of counsel, sin, and is able to set the prisoner free. But you're not free tonight. There's no way you're free. But the word can break the chains that bind you and save the soul that you have. And what happened in the synagogue that day can happen here tonight, and we will say, what a word is this. Not only do you have the presence of the devil, you have the plea of the devil. This unclean spirit, we are told, cried out with a loud voice, verse 33. And then we are told what he cried. He said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Well, that was to be expected, wasn't it? This unclean spirit had control of this man's life. And here the Lord Jesus appears upon the scene, and the unclean spirit cries out from this man, let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And there are some in this meeting tonight, and I guarantee you may not have spoken those exact words, but you have said things that are just like this. Because, again, the word has been preached. What have you said? What have you said? let me alone. Haven't you? You've said, let me alone. What have I to do with this Jesus of Nazareth? Why would men and women today, why would they want the Lord? When they love their sin, their unclean way of life, and they don't want anything to do with the Holy Savior. And you know, my friend, tonight in this meeting, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember the night that I got saved in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church on the 5th of May, 1969. And I remember sitting in the meeting that night, and it came to the end of the service, and the wee man, Tommy Ryans, was closing in prayer. And I remember sitting there saying, Lord, don't let me leave the meeting tonight without getting saved. And I went to the door, and Brother Tommy took me by the hand, and the only time I'd been to those young people's fellowship meetings for 3 months, and it was the only time he shook my hand and held on to it. And he says, Reggie, why are you not saved? Well, I'll tell you, I knew why. I love rock music. And I knew that if I got saved, that would have to go. And I wanted to hold on to it. And I wanted to hold on to those things. And they didn't want to give them up. Thank God the Word gained the victory. And the Spirit of God got a hold of my heart and a hold of my life. And that night I was wonderfully, gloriously saved. Saved. Didn't make a commitment. Wasn't a commitment. I was saved. Born again of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you haven't got that far yet. And when God's servants come to this pulpit and preach the word, your cry is, let me alone. Because you love your sin, don't you? Sure you do. You take those words, let us alone. It's one word in the original. It is one word which means away. Away. And how it reminds me and reminds us of the language of those who cried out against the Savior. When he stood in Pilate's judgment hall, when he went through that mock trial, remember what the crowd cried out? Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar. Away! Away with him! And that chant, because that's what it was. The people then, the enemies of Christ who wanted to see the Savior crucified, they simply chanted, away with him, away with him, away with him, away with him. And I'll tell you something, that chant can be heard in church pulpits today. For those who sit in church pulpits today and the preacher preaches the word and their response is, away with him. Away with your gospel. Away with your salvation. Away with your pardon. Away with your forgiveness. Away with your cross. away with your Christ. I will have my sin instead. I'll have to tell you something. I have to tell you this. The Word of God declares, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there's a day of reaping coming for you. You who have sat through many a gospel meeting and many a gospel mission, and you're still sitting in your sin, I have to tell you, there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a bitter harvest to be reaped, and you're going to reap it. When you stand before a holy God on the day of judgment, and God will say to you, away with him. Away with him. Depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew you, that's a strong word that the Savior used. That word, those words, never knew you, mean never at any time. Your day of reckoning is coming. As an American preacher, one time preached a sermon and he titled it, Payday Someday. Your payday is coming someday, my friend. It's time you got right with God. And instead of saying, preacher, away with your Christ, for the sake of your soul and your eternity, you ought to come tonight and say, preacher, give me your Christ. He's my only hope for eternity. And so he is. You notice the devil's perception. Here this unclean spirit reveals how much he knew about the Lord Jesus, for in the verse 34, he said, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. That's something. Here's an unclean devil. And he says to the Lord, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. First of all, we see with regard to the perception of this devil, he was aware of the Lord's intention. For the cry came from this unclean spirit, art thou come to destroy us? Why wouldn't you love to be there and say, yes, yes, he's come to destroy you. Yes, and he will destroy you. Praise the Lord. The devil is a defeated foe. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 and 15, for as much then as the children of are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Why does not make good reading? Likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, destroy him. The Lord's intention is to destroy and to destroy this unclean spirit that possessed this poor soul there in the synagogue that day. 1 John 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord did for this poor soul in the synagogue that day. He destroyed the works of this unclean devil, this demon in the life of this man. And what did he do? He set him free. He set him free. He can set you free tonight. He can set you free. And him whom the Lord sets free, I tell you, is free indeed. But how did he do it? How did he set this dear soul free? He rebuked him. It was the word that set him free. And that's why those in the synagogue that day said, "What a word is this? What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out of him." What a word. What a word is this? Why don't you love this word? No wonder then that the people who witnessed such a thing said, "What a word is this?" Not only was the devil aware of the Lord's intention, he was also aware of the Lord's identity. The unclean devil said, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." I would venture to say there are some churches in this land, as there are in Canada, and the man who occupies the pulpit doesn't believe that. The devils of hell believe more of the truth than some ministers believe today. But this devil knew the identity of the Lord Jesus. Mark tells us, in Mark 3 and verse 11, "And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Luke 4, verse 41, "And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God." They knew Christ. But, listen. There's a word of warning here. There's a word of warning. Because there are those who sit again in our churches. And they could say, as this devil said, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You know, don't you? You know. You know who Jesus Christ is. From your earliest days, you've learned the catechism, the child's catechism, the shorter catechism. You've learned portions of Scripture. You've sat under the preaching of the Word for years, and still you sit. If you die the way you are, and it comes to the day of your burial, what's your minister going to say? What's your minister going to say about you? Dr. DeWitt Talmadge, great American preacher, said there's the one time that he's tempted to tell lies is at a funeral service. Because he has had to bury those who, as far as he understood and knew, had died in their sin. And there he stands at the graveside. And there he stands facing the families of the man who's deceased. And he would love to be able to tell them, "Well, he's absent from the body and he's present with the Lord," but he can't do that. He can't do it. And what's your minister going to say? If you die as you are, what comfort does he have? What word of comfort does he have for your family? Can he tell them? You'll see him again. No, he can't. And here you are. And you know all about the Lord Jesus. You've sat under the sound preaching of God's servant for years. And if I were even to interview you tonight and tell you all about the way of salvation, you would say, I know, I know, I know. My, 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 what a tragedy then. What a tragedy then if you pass from time into eternity and those words are on your lips, I know, I know, I know. And your voice will echo and re-echo through the caverns of the damned, and the people and the lost souls there and the demons there will hear you cry, I know, I know. I know the way of salvation. I know Christ came to save sinners like me. I know. But I died without him. I might as well tell you, your hell will be two hells. I said the other night at a gospel meeting, not long after I was saved, I visited a little Christian bookstore in Portadown. I had seen a nice plaque with a verse of scripture on it in another Christian's house, and I wanted one for my house. And I visited this Christian bookstore and made my purchase, a verse of scripture on it to hang up on the wall. And I said to the lady who served me, I says, who does that printing? Who prints those verses of scripture? Told me the person's name. Says, I said, they do a beautiful job. And then she said to me, she says, you know the man that does that beautiful printing on those plaques? Do you know something? He's not saved. What? He made his living at printing out verses of Scripture. And he wasn't saved. And I remember going home and thinking about that man, whoever he was. And I was thinking about that man, if he died the way he was when he was making those plaques and printing out those verses of Scripture, what must a lost eternity be like for him if he's there now? You know something? He'll remember every single verse he wrote. He'll remember every one of those verses. And his hell is two hells now. And he could say, and no doubt has said, and has been saying so since he passed into eternity, I know, I know, I know. I know. I knew the way of salvation. I wrote it out. I actually wrote it out. You see, we're told that hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Many believe the worm is the memory. The worm, the memory, dieth not. The Lord tells us the story about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man went into hell and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he wanted somebody to go and tell his brethren. He remembered about his brethren. He wanted somebody to go and tell his brethren to warn them not to come into this place of torment. He remembered, you see. And if you die the way you are, you'll remember this meeting tonight. Yes, you will. I tell you, you will. You'll remember the passage of Scripture. You'll remember the verse of Scripture. You'll know. You'll remember the text. You'll remember the subject. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. W.P. Nicholson said, if a man spent 1,000 years in hell and get out after it, he said there would be hope in hell, but there's none. There's none. There's no hope. None. And here you have the word preached to you this night, the word that is able to save you, the word that is able to make you wise unto salvation. And what are you doing with it? What are you doing with God's word tonight? Why don't you receive it? Why don't you receive the truth of God's word? We notice the Lord's response. The Lord's response: no sooner had this unclean devil spoken than the Lord responded in verse 34. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. He rebuked them. Just as he rebuked the devil in the wilderness, just as he rebuked the devil's crowd time and time and time again in the form of the scribes and the Pharisees, and they came to try and trip him up, and they came to try and tangle him up in his words, which was a foolish task. And what did he say every time? It is written. It is written. Have ye not read? Have ye not read? Have ye not read? He defeated them every time with the word. What a word is this? And listen, believer, when the devil comes after you with his railing accusations, remember the word. You'll defeat him every time with the word. You have the Lord's rebuke. The Lord rebuked him. He said, hold thy peace. Or the words there mean, be muzzled. He muzzled the devil. The same word is used elsewhere. Matthew 22, verse 12. He said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, or he was muzzled. And through the power of the Lord's word, the Lord rendered the demon speechless. It's great, isn't it? No lying, cheating, cunning prince of the air, devil of the underworld. My, when the Savior rebuked him, he was speechless. He was muzzled. Similar to the situation when the Lord was with the disciples in Galilee and the storm broke upon them and the disciples thought they were going to perish and they went to the Lord. They awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord stood up, calmed the sea and rebuked the wind. And all was calm. And that's what he did for this dear man that day in the synagogue. He rebuked the devil and all was calm. You have the Lord's rescue. The Lord responded by rebuking the unclean devil with the words, hold thy peace and come out of him. And then we read, he came out of him and hurt him not. You notice those words? He rebuked the devil and said, come out of him, and he came out and hurt him not. Savior rescued that man that day. He rescued him. Because that's what the devil's dirty plan was. It was to hurt this man. What depths of sin and uncleanness and depravity would this man have got into had the Lord not delivered him? Believer, where would we be tonight if the Lord hadn't delivered us? Revelation 2, verse 24, as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan. Lord's word to the church in Thyatira. He's talked about the depths of Satan. And we can say glory to God that the Lord has delivered us from the depths of Satan. But my unsaved friend, tonight, that's where you're headed. Down into the depths of Satan. Might even frightens you to think about it, what it really means. And he delivered this man in the synagogue from the depths of Satan, and he did it by the power of his word. What a word is this? I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Once evil led me, but now God reigns. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Broken for air are sin's dark chains. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. He rescued me, his own to be. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Oh, how I'll praise him through all eternity. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. And he can do the same for you tonight. Will you believe the word? Haven't we been told that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him? That word uttermost means completely. He's able to save completely. See? You have nothing to do. You don't have to do anything. Because Christ saves completely and eternally. All that you have to do tonight is to come and confess you're a sinner and repent of your sin and ask Christ to save you and wash you in his blood. And he'll do it. He's never turned one away yet. Finally, and very brief, you have the word that dismissed the devil. The Lord uttered the command, come out of him, and he came out of him. You see, the devil to Jesus must bow. But you see what the intention of the devil was? He said, come out of him, and he came out and hurt him not. You remember when the Lord Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a dear father there met the Lord with his son. He had brought his son to the disciples, but they couldn't do anything for him. So he brought the son to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord asked him how long he had been like this. Because the father explained to him, he says, the devil, he cast him into the water and he cast him into the fire to destroy him. And I believe we could touch many a tender nerve tonight by saying there's been many a young person has been destroyed by the devil. And maybe it's a son or a daughter of somebody here. But that's the devil's intention for you, to destroy you. To destroy you in a lost eternity. To hurt you. To damn your soul in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And yet here's the Lord, and he's in the meeting tonight, just as he was in the synagogue that day. He's here tonight, and as he delivered this man, he'll deliver you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So why don't you come? Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come even now? Just where you are. Oh, you can say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done a whole lot of things and the Lord wouldn't accept me. Oh, but yes, he would. You know the story of Charlotte Elliot. Charlotte Elliot was confined to a wheelchair. And when she would go to a gospel meeting, she wanted to get saved, but she said because of her infirmities, the Lord wouldn't accept her. And then one night the preacher in the course of his message said to those in his congregation who were not saved, he said, listen, just come as you are. And Charlotte Elliot realized, all I have to do is come just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That was the hymn she wrote after she came to Christ. Come just as you are. It's the preaching of the word that changes hearts, that changes habits, that changes homes. It's the word that gives hope to the hopeless and gives help to the helpless and gives health to the sin-sick soul. It's the word that can make the drunkard sober. It can make the harlot pure. It can break the chains that bind the drug addict and make them a child of God. It's not new methods we need. It's not new means we need. It's not a new message we need. It's the word. What a word is this? We'll end it there. I often thought, what was it like for that man to go home? No longer held in the grip of the power of the devil. He was changed. His heart was changed. His home was changed. Because he had said under the preaching of the word, you can go home tonight and you'll have a different home. You have a different heart. You live a different life. So why not? Why not come? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Just in the stillness of the final minutes of this meeting, I'd like to say to those tonight, you have sat under the word, and you can say with that unclean spirit, I know. Well, think of what it would be like. And you tonight can say, I know. Yet to be lost in eternity forever, knowing what ye should have done. And all those truths and all those doctrines and all those messages and all those verses of Scripture will come flooding back and they'll torment you for all eternity. If I or the Reverend Greer or any of the elders here can be of any help or assistance to you, would you have a word with us? I always like to say, I'm not here to embarrass anyone. If you just say quietly to me at the door, I'd like to speak with you. That's all you have to do. But I don't want you to go out without Christ. I don't want you to go without Christ. Eternal Father and most gracious God, we're glad that we have such a Savior as this. We're glad we have such a Savior who will receive all comers and will not turn anyone away. O Lord, I pray thou will work by and through thy word tonight to bring conviction and bring about conversion. And, O Lord, may some soul or souls tonight be added to the family of God. Answer prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and we see the King in all his majesty and glory. Amen.